being done under the guise of loan forgiveness. Sell-off underway this morning on Wall Street so far. The Dow is down 326 points. The NASDAQ off 171. The S&P down 45 points. More details, srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about an issue today that I believe is vital. It is important for every Christian to understand. That's prophecy on world events. Let me recommend to you a book that I happen to know the author right well. The title of the book is The Panorama of Prophecy. There's a timeline on the front of the book. Had the privilege of publishing this book back in 2011, I believe it was. There's about 155 pages, and it goes from the rapture of the church to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ in the thousand-year millennial reign when He rules and reigns. And in the timeline, it talks about the place that the scripture takes place, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, the seven bowls of judgment, then the return of Christ, the thousand-year reign of Christ, and the end of the battle called the Battle of Armageddon, and then the rule and reign of Christ in heaven. Let me just read to you on page 3, part of the introduction in this book. Why study prophecy? How will it help the believer? Does God's Word really have the answers for the last days? Bible prophecy is needful for all Christians' growth. Bible prophecy gives us a proper understanding of God's sovereignty. Bible prophecy proves the reliability of God and God's Word. Today, we live in a time of extreme paradox as related to biblical prophecy. The end time warning signs are growing stronger and stronger with every passing day. Yet there seems to be very little awareness of these signs, and the concerns seem to be declining. We could go back to the beginning of time, biblical time, in particular from the foundation of the New Testament church, and find even then people had a deep interest in future events. Questions surrounding the eschatological truth, that is, the future events, are still high on the list of our attempts to understand the Word of God, the Bible. That's just part of the introductory remarks that I make in that book. It is called The Panorama of Prophecy. It sells retails for $16.99. You can go to fcbcatjax.com and go to the bookstore and place your order. Or you can go to the university line, that's conservative.edu, and go to the bookstore and look the book up. We have about 6,000 titles in the bookstore, about 130,000, about 120,000 volumes. But this is one that I had the privilege of authoring, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. I pray that you'll order one today, $16.99. There's a few dollars added to that for shipping, but we would love to see you get it. So I encourage you to go to fcbcatjax.com. Look up the bookstore, go to the university, and go to conservative.edu and look up the bookstore and place your order. It's called The Panorama of Prophecy. It covers what we're saying today and far beyond with greater depth of understanding. Gives you a handle to hold on to, so as we see these world events unfurling, it should bring us comfort and hope and encouragement and also cautioning. And part of that caution is to realize that the day is short, and we need to be sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with the world about us. I believe we have Terry on the line. Terry, go over the question or comment, please.
Hi, pastors. How are you doing today?
Good, great. I pray that you are.
What you just read, it was what I wanted to mention, if you would explain prophecy and, you know, the world events and all the other prophecies you mentioned for today. Because a lot of people don't realize prophecy is not just someone coming to the church and telling you you're going to get a new house.
Amen. I second that motion. There are a lot of people. In fact, while you're saying that, while you're fresh on that, let me just interject this. Mm-hmm. Prophetheos is the word of prophecy. In the Old Testament, the New Testament, prophet was there, is telling forth the word of God. It is foretelling what God is saying. Prophetess today, there are prophets. That's one of the gifts that's found in the scripture. Prophets, and that means simply telling forth the word of God, preaching the word, telling the word. But it does not mean that you're sitting down and you're saying, well, I can tell you that I prophesy that you're going to have a new home. I prophesy that God's going to give you a vault of gold. I prophesy that you're going to have good health. That is farce. That's phony. That's false teaching. And we're finding those as what the Bible calls false prophets. In fact, you find in the scripture in Matthew chapter 24, verses 5 and following, the first sign of the last days is false prophets, false teachers, and there's a proliferation of those today, and I need to say very clearly that I find it objectionable. I find it absolutely sad that in the household of faith, you'll have those that are doing just what you're saying, and it's sad. Go ahead now.
That was it. I was listening to you, and I told my husband that was what I was going to ask him about. Please tell me the name of the book again.
It is The Panorama of Prophecy. Panorama of Prophecy, 155 pages. It's found on both the church website and the university website, and it's fcbcatjax.com. Just click on that and scroll down and find the bookstore. Click on that and go to it and put in the title, and it'll pop up. You'll find that. Do the same thing on conservative at conservative.edu, which is the university website. Both of them go back to the same bookstore of thousands and thousands of volumes, and we'd love to see you go there, purchase the book, and receive it. It's such a blessing, and I am prayerful that others will be blessed by the broadcast today. Terry, thank you so much for your call. Go ahead.
Can I say one more thing? Because it brought back to my memory about how people don't fellowship anymore. But if you heard that a prophet was coming into town, they would come all over the place and fellowship with the saints just for a false prophet.
Absolutely, amen. Absolutely. Amen. The overwhelming majority of what you hear today that's called prophets are absolutely ill-placed, and it's sad that Christians place confidence and trust in what they say more than what the Word of God says. If you want to have that connotation, go to the 17th chapter of Acts, the Berean Christians, listen to the Apostle Paul. And with all of his renown, they said they're going to search the scripture and see if what he says be true. So as a so-called prophet comes into town, search the scripture, see if what he is saying is true. 99.99999% of the time it's not, because God's word does not come about in that fashion. God's prophetic text shows us what God says that God's going to do in the last days. And most prophecy that we find today is found in the prophetic text after the rapture of the church, following the rapture of the church, until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is filled with the prophetic text, with God saying to us where he's doing, what he's doing, why he's doing it, when he's going to do it, and what to expect. So, Terry, we need to keep praying, asking God to give wisdom in the pulpits that we're in today, asking God to give wisdom in the hearts and the lives of the child of God that will depend and trust in God's word and not man's word. And that is the end of it, I believe, for each of us as we need to understand it. Terry, thank you so much for your call. God bless you today. Thank you for calling. Dr. Davis, how do you respond as you've just heard the dialogue with Terry and myself? What are your thoughts on that? What are you seeing? How do you think Christians need to respond to these so-called prophets today?
Well, Christians, first of all, again, will come a lot further ahead if they know the word of God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, why should God bless you with anything materially, material wealth, houses, cars, whatever the situation might be? Why should he bless you with any of that when you are not worshiping him?
Mm-hmm.
When you are not obeying his word?
Mm-hmm.
He does not owe you anything.
That's right.
Now, what we need to know as Christians, all of your blessings hinges on your obedience to God.
Absolutely.
If you go to Deuteronomy 28, and they love to say this in the church,
mm-hmm.
God told them in Deuteronomy 28, if you do these things, and I'm just going to cut it a little bit short just to run right through it, blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going out and blessed coming in. Christians, today's Christians, love to recite those verses of Scripture.
And if I
but
could
they forget, if you go down a little bit further below that, the other verses say, if you don't obey me, cursed in the city, cursed in the field,
mm-hmm.
cursed, and you will be the lender and not the borrower.
Mm-hmm.
But they love to say, I'm going to be the borrower and not the lender. Now, all that's the good part.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at the flip side of being cursed, they don't want that part.
That's right. And one of the things that many do not recognize, Dr. Davis, in Deuteronomy 28 and 29, God is speaking specifically to the Jewish people.
Amen.
Now, we can apply some of those truths to the Christian life today, but I've heard Paul Crouch, when he used to be on the air, and he's gone now, don't know where he is, but anyway, Paul Crouch would say that we need, as Christians, God's promised us we're going to be the lender, not the borrower. God never promised that to a Christian in any place in the Word of God. It's taking God's Word out of context and applying it in the wrong dispensation than we see today.
Amen.
And yet we see them making that statement, and gullible, anemic, illiterate, unlearned, infantile Christians believe it and embrace it and think that that's some prophet from God, and it's not. I believe
Amen.
We have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
How are you gentlemen doing there? It's a good old country boy and a good old preacher man. How you guys doing?
Amen.
Good
Can't
morning,
complain. Good
Jim.
Morning. Good to talk with you.
Yeah. Anybody that's going to tell me they're a prophet there, automatically I'm going to remember the very last verse of Revelation there. Before I even listen to them, the first thing that's going to tickle my mind is you cannot add to this. And the second thing I'm going to do is I'm going to listen to them, and iron sharpens iron, and I'm going to examine what, like you said about the Bereans there, I'm going to examine what they're saying and if it's the truth according to the Bible. Most of these, you know, a lot of these pretenders out here would be stopped in their tracks if true Christians would just stand up and say, that ain't how I read it, Pastor.
Amen.
Or Amen.
Pastor, Amen.
Or prophet, or...
Amen.
You know,
yes.
You got to stand up for what you know is right. Because if you don't stand up for what is right, and your brother who may not be as strong or as worldly and as knowledgeable in the Word, he may be led astray. So, therefore, you're doing it for yourself, and you're doing it for the benefit of others around you. Because
Amen.
They need to know the truth. And if they don't know the truth, then it's on your head, because your blood will be required if you know and don't say. So there's a lot of Scripture out there. And I don't have a degree. But I don't read probably as much as y'all two do there, and I ain't gone to school for it, but in my heart, I know what's right, and I know what it says.
Well, Jim, the key to it is that God, through the Holy Spirit, will teach us through the Scripture. If we go to the Scripture, reading the Scripture, studying the Scripture, and I've said this 1,000 times as I teach hermeneutics in the class with the pastors that's in the Bible college and the university, the Scripture interprets Scripture.
Yes,
go
sir.
back to the original commentaries that we had, let's say hundreds of years ago. What did they use to do their word study and their study? They used the Word of God. God's Word interprets the Word of God. And if we look at it in context with what God is saying, with the word study properly done, we will find that God is telling us what He's going to do in the future. And it's not through some Johnny-come-lately, as I call it, prophet. I'm going to read a sentence from a massive article on what is prophecy, the biblical meaning, and examples of prophecy that I have researched. It said the prophet, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, serves as a conduit for divine communication rather than generating personal insights, end quote. Jim, I find that to be so apropos today because, as we've been talking about in the last several minutes, about those false prophets coming. But listen to what this article says. And the angel said unto me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true words of God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, you must not do that. I am a fellow servant with you and your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19, 9 and 10. And that was a modern version, and I'm reading from the article. I prefer the King James text. But Jesus Christ is, the scripture says, is the spirit of prophecy. Your thoughts in relationship to how we should study prophecy. Do you believe that it is beneficial for the child of God to study prophecy? So when we see these world events taking place, we can go back and say, wow, God's word said it. Is that beneficial? Should that be beneficial? Should that be required of a Christian?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right now, I'm currently reading 31 Ways to be Rapture Ready. And I can tell you right now, that if you don't study prophecy, this is going to catch you unaware.
That's right.
And when that day comes, the day of the Lord, oh boy. Oh boy.
Yes.
I don't want to be here during that 7 years. I do not want to be here during that 7 years.
Well, one of the things you touched on,
somewhere else.
you touched on the word, the terminology, the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, for our listeners to understand, is from the rapture to the return of Christ. From the rapture to the return of Christ is called the day of the Lord. And when you study that and understand that what we're seeing now with these precursors, these signs, the semions, the benchmarks, the showing forth of what will be fulfilled in the future time, should be an encouragement, a challenge, not a fearful thing, but an encouragement, a challenge to every Christian. So, Jim, I'm thankful for you. Thankful for your call. Thank you so much today for your insight. Thank you so much. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a subject that I believe should, spike the interest of every child of God, every Christian, every conservative, prophecy and the world events. Dr. Davis, could you just enumerate, without going into detail at this time, what are some of the world events that we see happening today that's we have already been told what happened in the scripture?
Well, remember Jesus said that you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, mm-hmm. and earthquakes in diverse places. I'm just going to stop on those two.
Yep.
But we always see wars. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean soldiers fighting against one another. That can be nationalities of people having clashes against one mm-hmm. another. All right? When we look at the LGBTQ, we look at all these other people that are marching for these rights, and they are turning against God's people and his word. That's wars and rumors of wars.
Yes.
Not only that, an earthquake just happened up in New York, New Jersey, here about 2 weeks ago.
4.8 and then a 4.0.
Amen. But then, a week or two before that, an earthquake hit Taiwan.
7.8.
So, Richter. Let us understand, scripture is still being fulfilled. There's so many different things that still yet has to happen. But we got to understand, we can take heart in the word of God because he has always promised to take care of us.
That's true. Absolutely.
Amen.
And another thing, Dr. Davis, when we watch the Islamic jihadist in the streets waving the jihadist flag, they call it the Palestinian flag, and demanding that Israel be destroyed, there is a partial fulfillment and a pointing to the ultimate fulfillment where Israel would be in the crosshairs, I call it, of all nations around the world, according to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3, chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3, that we see in the scripture, where that will be taking place. And we need to understand that that is fulfilling prophecy. When we see the stadium here in the city of Jacksonville with about 7,000 Islamics there on their knees praying to Allah, that is a partial fulfillment of what we see in the last days, because in the last days, Islamic jihadists, the Islamic move, will try to dominate and control the whole wide world. We saw a sampling of that in the book of Nehemiah, where the three enemies of Nehemiah and his group rebuilding the wall, they were Islamic jihadists then, and their desire is to destroy Christianity, destroy anything that would be called the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet the world does not seem to know it. The Christian does not seem to recognize it, and there's not a recognition of what God says will be in the last days. Some of the things that we need to go back to as far as what I would call rudimentary, fundamental, elemental prophetic text. For example, Jesus was said in Micah 5:2. Micah 5:2 talked about Jesus Christ to be born, where he would be born, and when he would be born. And in Isaiah 7:14, the scripture talks about he'd be born of a virgin. It was fulfilled in Matthew 1:22 and 23, Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 35. So every prophecy that we've seen so far that has taken place, there's still hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophecies about Jesus Christ that will not be fulfilled until his second coming. But we're talking about his first coming, and his first coming was prophesied in the scripture, where he would be born, when he would be born, and his nature would be a virgin-born Son of God. Jesus would be crucified, was prophesied in the scripture. He would be raised again after the third day. Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? This same Jesus that you see caught up in the clouds will in so like manner return. So Jesus Christ will return just like he ascended according to Acts chapter 1. And his return, we find in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. Mark chapter 16, 1 through 11, when he was resurrected. But listen, in Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 27, it's on the left page, top of the right column in my Bible, every eye shall see him when he returns. In the rapture of the church, it will be secret, if you will. We will be caught up. The Christian will be caught up, snatched up. The word snatching away. Amen. It's suddenly seized and taken out of this old world. We'll suddenly disappear. That is prophesied in the scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 13 through 18. And in the latter portion, the last verse of that, verse 18, wherefore comfort ye one another? So when we look at prophecy, ladies and gentlemen, it should comfort us, encourage us, and challenge us to place our faith and trust in the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that God's Word said it, that settles it. We need not question it. We need not worry about it. We need not to be concerned. Will it take place? He said it would. And Dr. Davis, when it comes to Russia and their attack on Ukraine, the scripture in Ezekiel 38 and 39, all of the book of Ezekiel, fantastic, fantastic prophetic text. Ezekiel chapter 37 takes place before 38 and 39, right?
Amen. Amen.
Ezekiel chapter 37, it is the prophecy of Israel being reconstituted as a nation. It's talked about the Valley of Dry Bones. On May 15th, 1948, Ezekiel chapter 37 was fully prophesied and fulfilled in Ezekiel 37. May 15, 1948, the nation of Israel, after 2,500 years of being a diaspora, that is a scattering on a global basis, they came back together as a constituted nation. The Bible said it. That settles it. It took place just like God said it would.
Amen.
And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, today, as we understand the prophetic text, God gives us reason to have hope in the future. Not to be cast down, not to be discouraged, but to have hope in the future, because one of the things that prophetic text in its fulfillment does, should give us major, major, major embracing and major, major, major respect for the Word of God. Because God said it, that settles it, and it's settled in the prophetic text being fulfilled.
Amen.
That should give us more confidence in what God says. That should cause the Christian to be confident that if God said it, it's going to happen.
Amen. But you know, Dr. Youngblood, now Christians need to stop settling their hearts and minds on things here in
yes.
this world.
Yes, yes.
Because Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you.
Amen.
Now, I know you want to enjoy greater things and better things,
mm-hmm.
so forth and so on, et cetera, et cetera. But you got to understand, the scripture also tells us this world is not our home.
That's right.
We are pilgrims and strangers passing through.
Amen.
We need to be content, again, that scripture, with such things as we have. The Apostle Paul spoke about that
mm-hmm.
in many cases because he understood that the Corinthian Christians were still caught up in worldly things.
That's right.
Even in 1 Corinthians 3, he said, I have many things to tell you, but I can't say anything to you right now pertaining to them because you are still babes in need of milk.
Mm-hmm.
I have fed you with meat, but you need the milk.
That's right.
So listen, I mean, again, we can get caught up in these worldly things so much until we lose focus of what's written in the scripture, and the scripture are true. We need to understand that. Mm-hmm. If we don't take it like that, then Dr. Youngblood, it's not going to work for us.
That's right.
It's not going to benefit. It's not going to profit us in any kind of way unless we believe the whole Bible is true from cover to cover. Now,
I say that I believe the Bible is true even to the point it says genuine leather.
Amen. About prophecy. Yeah. Prophecy is not fulfilled by chance.
That's right.
Amen. Like you just spoke about, all the things that God said about Jesus came to pass. You could drive a nail in it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes down to what Sister Terry said about people coming into the church and prophesying about things like that, that happened to me a while back. My bride and I were laughing about this the other day. We visited a guy's church, and he called me up, and he grabbed my hands, and when he grabbed my hands, he looked up over his head like he was watching birds fly across the top of the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "What's going on?" He said, "That was you." I said, "What do you mean?" "I saw you on a 747. You're getting ready to take a trip." That was 10 years ago. I ain't been on a 747 yet. So, you see what I'm saying? I can't say that God won't send me somewhere in the future now.
Yeah.
But again, whatever that was he was saying, he was trying to tell the people in the church that God was blessing me with a trip I was getting ready to take.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw me on a 747, but it hadn't happened yet. It's been over 10 years.
One of the things we find, it is a sad footnote to Christianity today. One of the things, Dr. Davis, if we've got a couple of minutes, let me say this. When we look at what the Word of God says, the Scripture, we need to understand that God said it, it's going to come to pass. God said the Antichrist will come. Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 and following says that it will be a Sodomite Islamic jihadist that will become the Antichrist. You find it fulfilled in Revelation chapter 13, 1 through 18. God tells us about the Antichrist, who he is, where he comes from. He will have the Antichrist, the false prophet, and be carried out. Their power will be carried out by satanic, demonic power. In the prophetic text of the book of the Revelation, God gives us a chronological review of all the old world, this old world, where we will be, and what we'll witness in Jesus' return. This is the fulfillment of the signs that God gives us in Matthew 24 and 25. We see, as you touched on earlier, wars and rumors of wars. We see earthquakes in diverse places. We see false teachers. We see the hatred for Christians in the church. All of this is foretold in the Word of God.
Amen.
We don't have to
Amen.
Worry about it. We know that when we see it, why does the world hate the Christian? God tells us, Jesus speaking himself, "It hated me first, it's going to hate you. It persecuted me first, it's going to persecute you." So as a result of that, we're finding prophetic text come to fulfillment. The prophetic text of the book of Revelation tells us that it is Jesus Christ that is in full charge and full control. He's the only one that could open the seven seals in the book of the Revelation. In Revelation Revelation chapter 6 through 18, we see the seven seals being opened. Jesus was the only one with the authority. That's unfurling the prophetic future. We find in the book of the Revelation, we find that the church is found in Revelation 4, the rapture of the church, where we're snatched out. I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, but the point being, we need to study the Word of God, we need to study the prophetic text, and understand what God is saying so that we can be comforted and comfort others with the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I pray that this study has been a benefit and a blessing to you. God bless you. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9.